have no use for the sweets of any kind since the day you came around. One look and I instantly made up my mind. Sweeter sweetness can't be found. You're so sweet, can't be beat. Nothing sweeter ever stood on feet. Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. Well, I don't blame them, goodness knows. Honeysuckle rose.
Well, 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 well. Woo! Welcome, 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 everybody, to Razzle Dazzle Radio. And man, this joint is jumping with Ain't Misbehavin', one of the most popular, well-crafted reviews of all time, and a Tony Award winner for Best Musical. Yep, the inevitable Thomas Fats Waller rose to international fame during the golden age of the Cotton Club with his infectious swing music. And we've had some infectious swinging music from James Toler sitting in the studio today with Judy Templeton, Mo Dutterer, and the director of Ain't Misbehavin' at Toby's Dinner Theater, Monique Midget. Did I get that right?
You did. So nice to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
Good guest, Carolyn.
Woo-hoo! Thank you for having us.
Yes, this is great. I'm so excited to be part of this today. We came over in this rainy day here at HCC, and you bring joy and sunshine to the studio. So, Mo, I know you have a dozen questions to ask these two.
I have one. What's the show? Ain't Misbehavin'. Saw it on Broadway and loved it there. And the music is infectious. And it was at that time when I saw it up there, it was very difficult to keep the people in their seats. Mm-hmm. And the ones that were in their seats were moving. So you are the director, Monique.
I am.
And when did you always think the audience probably thinks when they show up, they probably worked on this 2 or 3 weeks, and they popped out there and they do the show for a couple of months, and then that's it. When do you think Toby and the directorial committee and the producers started working on Ain't Misbehavin'?
Well, the decision to do the show was made last year. Mm-hmm. And then the concept of trying to figure out what the show was and everything started months ago. So
2 months, 3 months, 5 months?
We started rehearsals in June.
In June.
So okay. Months before, yeah. Trying to figure out who the director and the choreographer and the vision of the show was.
Well, since you mentioned those really important people, fill us in on who the production people are in the show.
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm the director.
Yes.
Shalice Hemby is our choreographer. She directed Dreamgirls at Toby's mm-hmm. before.
Okay.
And our musical director is Ross Scott Rawlings. He's wonderful. He's
familiar name.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and we'll talk about him and some of his buddies a little bit later, too. Mm-hmm. So that crew is put together. But, you know, the average public that does not have kids that grow up in the performing arts, mm-hmm. they think that people just snap their fingers and these things happen. Mm. That would be like playing an NFL football game with no playbook. And we always need the playbook and the script and the lyrics and the choreography. And it takes a long time and a lot of repetitions to do that. So those people out there that attend theater, whether it's straight theater or whether it's musical theater, it is a long, long, long process. If you had to guesstimate, Monique, how many hours of rehearsals and planning and blocking and conceptualizing that you will put into the show by the time the show closes, what might that number be?
Wow. What's that song? 525,600
minutes. I like that.
Wrong show, Monique. Wrong show.
Sorry. Right. I'm in theater. I can't help it.
As one of my golf buddies in South Carolina would say, that's from Oklahoma. No matter what lyric I sing or happy birthday, it's always Oklahoma. Of course, that was
rant. No, yeah. You put a lot of time and energy, and this show's very important and special to me. I actually was a part of the cast, 3 different productions around the country. So in trying to figure out what I wanted my concept to be this time, I went back to my family. So I spoke with my mom and my grandparents and my, you know, my extended family about what this period of time at the Harlem Renaissance would mean to them, especially in the 1920s, with so many of my relatives coming from the South, Augusta, North Carolina, up to the North for better opportunities and work and life. That was what created the Harlem Renaissance. All of the new artists and musicians and writers and poets in that area. And that was where Fats Waller got his inspiration and was born. So
you actually did some research?
I did a lot of research.
Wow. And I think that's so neat that you went back to your family. Of course, you know, as we say in Curl County, which is where I am from, you know, that the grandparents are really, really important people. And, of course, I know that now because Carolyn and I are one.
Ah, don't forget me.
And Judy. And Judy.
I know. You're too young for thinking about it.
I know exactly.
Well, you know, Monique, you sort of did a little Stanislavski technique here by, you know, really getting with the people and getting the feeling and getting the real, you know, visceral effect of all of this. And I think that a lot of people don't know that Ain't Misbehavin' isn't just about the music, although that it is, you know, something that draws us in. So so glad that you brought that piece to it.
Definitely, because Fats Waller was writing songs about his real life experiences.
Sure.
So we just try and tie that into the storytelling of the show. We have projections that are a part of the show as well of people from the time period, bands from the time period, dancers, people in their daily lives, because all of the life struggles and pain that they went through, when you get to the end of the weekend, you want to forget about that. You want to go to a place where there are amazing jazz musicians like Fats Waller playing music, and you have some drinks, you hang out with your friends, and that's what Ain't Misbehavin' is really a celebration of.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
Now, the show, we're going to talk about an awful lot, but I always like to find out what your journey was, Monique, that, and I'm going to ask James the same question in just a minute. Where were you born, raised, and how did you get yourself into this trouble that you're in now?
Because she ain't misbehaving.
<That's right.
laughs> Well, one never knows. Do one.
we'll get to that.
I was born in Philadelphia, moved to Maryland when I was 12, grew up in Montgomery County. So I did a lot of theater. I went to high school at Seneca Valley High School, started my theater career in junior high and high school, and got the bug and couldn't let it go. So I started in dinner theater. I worked at Harlequin, Burnbrae, West End, Toby's. I'm sure I'm forgetting one. There's another one. Somebody's going to be mad at me.
Laurel?
I'm sorry?
Was it Laurel?
Laurel Timonium.
Sure. The theaters.
Yeah, Timonium.
But I got my theater start here, and then Harlequin had a touring theater. That was where I did my first Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. And then from that, I started touring, did a lot of theater in Atlantic City, Las Vegas, made it to Broadway in a couple of shows. I did Seussical, Civil War, and then I was a part of The Lion King. The first company in Las Vegas, and then I joined the tour of that for a while.
That's a wide range.
So that was a performing, and then I was a casting director. I was a theatrical agent for a while, and just started being more interested in the telling of the stories. So I started writing, and through all of those opportunities and coming back to the Washington, D.C. area and Columbia in 2016, I just wanted to figure out what I wanted to do. I loved performing, but in wanting to tell my story and other stories, I started being more interested in writing and giving back to the kids, because you know you amass all this useless information and you're like, I gotta pass it to somebody. So I started a performing arts studio in Hyattsville, and then opportunities for directing started coming, and I was like, that seems like that would be amazing. And and Ain't Misbehavin' is one of my favorite shows, so I'm really, really honored that Toby gave me the chance to.
Now, how did you fit all that in your 32 years age?
32, that's an Ain't Misbehavin', right? 32 plus a few.
Exactly, yeah, 34.
You know, but, I mean, I think being a performer keeps you eternally young.
It does.
And,
it does.
You know, and you can.
It doesn't give you
everywhere.
Time to sleep or eat or anything.
No,
you just,
never.
You keep on.
But when you're doing what you love,
that's
you don't
exactly
even think
right.
about it. And directing this show were long hours, especially during tech and dress rehearsals. But it was just, it was fun, and it was important about making sure that the story got told in the right way.
Yeah. Well, my email thing at the very bottom, I said it's all about doing what you love.
Yes.
And that's exactly it, and what you're doing and what James did.
Mm-hmm.
James, where are you from, my man?
Born and raised Columbia, Maryland.
Yeehaw.
Yay.
Absolutely. So I'm a Columbia boy through and through.
What high school?
I went to Wild Lake High School.
I knew you were going to say that. I just had this feeling.
Under the direction of my theater department of Tracy Adler. Uh-huh. Hey, Tracy.
She's still there.
She's still there.
Thank
you're
goodness.
Really young then.
Sandra Atkins was yep. my music teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
After high school, I went to college at Temple University. I wanted to be an opera singer. So I, before that, I was a young Columbian, but I did not become a young Columbian until my senior year of high school. So I only met Toby and Toby's Dinner Theater, the Toby's Dinner Theater family, when I was a senior in high school. And that's where I met Monique, because Monique and I were in Big River together.
Oh, you were?
At Toby's Dinner Theater.
Okay.
My one and only production at Toby's Dinner Theater, because after that I graduated, went to Temple University for undergrad for opera. I was going to be an opera singer, but I just had that musical theater bug that I could not let go. And Temple University was a conservatory, so I had to literally sneak across the quad to do theater. And none of my teachers at Temple knew that I was actually, I got cast at 17 in Little Shop there in their production as the voice of Audrey too. And none of my teachers, I couldn't tell any of them. It was a big secret. Left Temple, went to Ohio State University, go Buckeyes, for 1 year because they gave me more money. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go out west. So I then transferred to University of Nevada, Las Vegas, where I lived in Vegas, worked in Vegas for a little while. And then I walked away from it all. I didn't like the person that I was becoming. And I just was like, you know what? I'm going to be in corporate America. So I did not sing.
Wow, that's a big shift.
Well, that was dumb.
How are you telling? I'm telling you. So I did not sing or act or dance or anything after I left Vegas. And I came back to this area for a while. And then I started traveling as a corporate trainer. I traveled for about 10 years. Being a corporate trainer, little did I know I was still performing every day in front of, businessmen. But I did that for a number of years. Make a very long story short, too late. I came back and I was on my honeymoon this past January. And I was just looking to see, I wanted to set up a nice romantic evening for my wife. And I was like, a show at Toby's. How about that? And I went on the website and I saw auditions for their upcoming season and Ain't Misbehavin', which I loved the show as a kid. And after about a 20-year hiatus in theater, I was like, you know what, James? Let's do it one more time. Let's go for it. Let's see if you can, you still got it. So I came in on an open audition call and here I am. So
super.
I would like to give a shout out and a thank you to James, because he recently performed in the Labor of Love benefit here at HCC. But before that, he actually performed in, I think it was 1993?
Yes.
A Labor of Love a long time ago when we raised money for folks living with HIV AIDS in those days. Thank you, James. You did a fabulous job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was such an honor to be a part of that benefit. And to which was such an amazing cause for Ellicott City, fund relief, and it was just an incredibly fun time. I had a blast.
Carolyn doesn't do anything that isn't fun. That's her middle name, Carolyn Fun Kellerman.
So
well, tell
James.
Us about your part in the show.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I am understudying the role originated by Ken Page, because in the musical review Ain't Misbehavin', all the original actors used their names, so there were no character names. But I'm actually understudying the actor Tobias Young and the role that Ken Page originated. And My character, you know what? He is the life of the party. He's a big, jovial guy, almost in the image of Fats Waller. And he just loves a good time. And he just loves the ladies. The ladies love him. And he's just an all-around big old teddy bear. So that's the role that I'm playing.
Super. Absolutely.
So
wonderful.
Are you going to stay in theater or are you going to go back to corporate?
Well, I am still in corporate. I'm a corporate trainer for Kaiser Permanente. But yes, I absolutely am going to stay in theater. This has been an incredible experience. Monique and the rest of the cast, they were so inviting because I was like, I didn't know anyone because I had been gone for so long. And yeah. I remember I looked at Monique and I was like, where do I know her from? And then come to find out when I was still in high school, Monique and I were in a show together. But yes, I caught the theater bug and I am not letting it go this time.
Oh, I don't think you ever lost it. You know, all paths lead back to Toby. So you should have just figured that out somewhere along
the
line.
Toby in Rome.
But so good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I always like to see when I walk into Toby's for every show, they always have different stuff on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
What stuff is going to be on the wall as gingerbread for Ain't Misbehavin'?
So if you mean the set design?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the stuff that's literally put up on the wall, the cutouts.
Sure. So our set is, you're walking into Fat Supper Club.
Okay.
So we have chandeliers. It feels very elegant. Mm-hmm. The lighting is set to make it feel like mm-hmm. you are a part of the club. So all of the tables have lamps that light up there's beautiful brocade on the tablecloths and it feels very, very inviting. We have a piano as if that would be one that Fats would mm-hmm. play. And other than that, it's very simple. So all of the attention is drawn into the actors telling the story on the stage.
Super. And the show is open. Follow Mamma Mia.
Yes.
And it runs until?
Until November 4th.
November
we
4th.
Opened just okay. this past Friday on September 14th.
Cool. We have a long run to go then.
We do. Eight shows a week.
Time.
Matinees on Wednesdays and Sundays.
Yeah. It was really funny that after Mamma Mia was over, Mark Minnick, the director of Mamma Mia, put on Facebook the number of people that made it through every one of their 97 shows that they did. And
mm-hmm.
I think there were seven of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, how large is your cast?
Our cast is five people. So, and they are on stage the whole time. And it's, series of duets and company numbers and solos. And so it is a high energy show from start to finish.
Lovely. And ballet is the predominant type of dance. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Ain't Misbehavin'. <Da-da-da. laughs> Love it. So. Well, thank you all very much for being here. We appreciate it. And it was good to, I will give my daughter your best, James.
Please do.
And my other, James, was in the Young Columbians with a whole bunch of Centennial High School students way back in the day, around, I guess, 93, 4, 5, 6,
Absolutely.
Somewhere in
that's
that
exactly
era.
When.
So mm-hmm. that's fantastic.
Thanks so much. I can't wait to see it. And it's just great being in your midst. I loved your performance at the Labor of Love, I have to tell you.
Thank
so
you
when
so
I
much.
When I came in the radio studio and saw you, I was like, yeah, it's him.
And thank you so much for having us.
What a great idea that Toby had to bring you in to direct, Monique. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
If you want to see James, I can tell you how. Go on MarylandTheaterGuide.com, and that is MDTheaterGuide.com, because there is a video from his fabulous performance at the Labor of Love. And shout out to the Maryland Theater Guide for always keeping us abreast of all activities in the arts all over Maryland. Mark Beachy, you rock. So check it out. Carolyn, what do you have there?
Nominations for the Howie Awards. And of course, this is the time of year I had hoped that James would have been eligible for the actual Howie for performance, but he's a little older than the deadline. Boo-hoo. Anyway, but for
next year,
nominate Outstanding Artist, Arts Educator, Arts Supporter. Let's get those nominations in before the deadline, and I know it's coming up pretty soon, October 30th. You send a note to Howard County Center for the Arts, the council, or you can call 410-313-2787 or go to www.hocoarts.org. Send nominations, and if you are under the age of, I think it's 35, and you're a performer, you can also apply for that $5,000 prize.
Oh, darn, Carolyn, I just missed it. So what's going on in local Howard County, Mo? What's happening on the scene here?
Well, in Howard County, as everyone knows, in Baltimore and D.C., this whole corridor, we are just so blessed with many, many dance, performing arts, singing, orchestra, everything we have going on here. I do know personally that this coming Saturday evening, which would be the 22nd, I believe, of September, at Slayton House, Silhouette Stages is having another one and of our cabaret nights, and it is the first one of the year. We always have a Boku crew of wonderfully talented people singing, acting, dancing, and doing stuff, and that's here. We also, Silhouette Stages has Adam's Family coming up in October, and so that's something to look forward to and to get to. Toby's is doing Ain't Misbehavin'. We just finished here at the Community College, Sweeney Todd.
Well, we will be finishing, but yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, that is not finished yet.
Right.
Okay, it's still ongoing.
Okay. And what about Shakespeare Shenanigans? Shakespeare Shenanigans is coming up October 19th, 20th, and 21st. And so this is a little different variety on the theme of Shakespeare is all I'm going to say. So get out and see that. Also coming up in December is the Chronicles of Narnia. Something just a little different. Two one-acts from the books of C.S. Lewis. And yes, that's the Alice in Wonderland person. And it's going to be The Magician's Nephew and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So, and this is not just for children. This is in the theme of wonder. This year at HCC, they have a fabulous theme. How can you go wrong when you have the theme wonder? So I definitely would advise you to try to get out and see that. In fact, there may be auditions still available for that as well. And then after that is Middletown. And that is directed by Bill Gillette, and it's a deeply moving and funny play exploring the universe of a small American town. So something just a little different. And then Rep Stage comes in strong in November with Things That Are Round, and that is directed by Casey Campbell, and I love Casey's work. She always adds a little intrigue, plots to bring disaster, to quote Pippin.
One thing I want to add to that also, Judy, and this is our, yes, buddy Robert Biederman down at Toby's, always does this. When I was teaching and brought a crew in, he does the same thing still. Don't forget your high school and middle school theater here in Howard County.
Absolutely.
We have 12 high schools here, and they all do wonderful theater. Ticket prices are very affordable. That's anywhere between $8 and $15. And they do usually a play and a musical. Many of them do two and even three musicals a year. And that hot season coming up is the end of October through Thanksgiving break in late November. But don't forget your high school theaters. They're fantastic jobs they do.
And you can check out what performances each high school is giving just by going on the website for Howard County's mm-hmm. Board of Education. Now, I think there is a discount if you happen to be over a certain age. But
that is correct.
I wouldn't know about that. But anyway.
James wouldn't get that. But.
No. I know. Here, I can't do that sort of together. But anyway.
All righty. I would like to sort of change the mood just a little bit. Over this past week and last couple weeks, actually, we have had another person missing in action, one of our performing arts people. It's been a pretty bad late summer and early fall for us here, having lost John Taylor, the Kinderman, Eva Anderson, and Fern Eisner. We just lost Doug Lawler just this past Saturday. And Doug is one of the primo accompanists here in the Baltimore, Washington area. And again, we have a lot of theater here. I don't know how we ever garnered so many wonderful accompanists, but R.L. Rousey, Ross Rawlings, Patty Hammer, and Brant Chalcombe, some are not living in the area anymore. Brant, I believe, is out in Kansas, and R.L. is up in Montana. But we have Patty and we have Ross here, but we just lost Doug Lawler. 3 or so years ago, he had a bout with cancer and completely kicked it and was fine and back to his normal self. And just about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, it reared its ugly head again. And within 2 weeks, he was in hospice care. And a couple of days after that, he passed. He has left a huge hole in thousands of people's hearts here in the Columbia, Howard County area. His musicians, his performers. He worked at Burn Bray. He worked at Toby's Dinner Theater. He always was willing and able and did a lot of Carolyn's Labors of Love, Howard County Arts Council's Celebration of the Arts. He has done a number of those, private recitals, ballet troupes he's accompanied for, worked at the Kennedy Center, you name it, Doug Lawler did it. And his wife, Jillian, is remaining. And Shannon Wollman, a consummate performer herself, opened up a GoFundMe page just about 5 days ago now. And the last time I checked yesterday, they have raised over $23,000 for Jillian because Doug was a freelance musician and that money helped. So if any of you do want to contribute to that GoFundMe now, you can look up Shannon Wollman on Facebook or Mo Dutterer on Facebook. It's on both of our pages and contribute. But Doug was a class act, always fun to be around, always a smile, and just a hoot to be around in a show or in his pit orchestra when he did the musical direction down at Toby's. Hear, hear, Doug. Rest in peace. You're a great guy, and a lot of us here are missing you.
Thank you, Mo.
Yes, it's hard to say goodbye to so many wonderful artists. But we do need to thank everybody who's here for coming to Razzle Dazzle Radio. James, Monique, for Mo Dutterer, and for my darling co-producer over here, Judy Templeton. I'm Carolyn Kellerman, and let's sign off with maybe music from Ain't Misbehavin'.
No one to talk with all by myself. No one to walk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. Misbehaving, saving my love for you, for you, for you, for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of. Hey, misbehaving, saving my love for you. Jack Horner in the corner, don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for. Leave me, I don't stay out late, no place to go. I'm home about eight, just me and my radio. Misbehaving, saving all my love for you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.